Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Genesis chapter 22. I'm starting a series today through Lent called Lay It Down. I have become very convinced that this book is a very dangerous book. Incredibly dangerous. As a matter of fact, I think we ought to just stop handing this book out to random strangers and say, here, take this book and read it. Because if they do that, without the disclaimer that the contents of this book will shake you and rattle you, upend your life, it could be very, very eye-opening to them. I think there has to be a disclaimer before we start handing out this Bible or even say, open this book and start reading it. And the disclaimer is this: this book will completely wreck your life. There's probably a reason why people avoid reading this book, because it is an incredibly dangerous book. What else is dangerous? This notion of, boy, I really want to experience God. Some people just want to experience God. I want to experience God. I want to hear from God. I would love to hear God speaking to me. Really? Are you sure about that? Because if you want to hear God's voice, it may just completely wreck you and turn your world upside down. This passage I'm going to read to you from Genesis chapter 22 is one of the most difficult passages in the entire Bible. It is incredibly difficult. Do you want to know how difficult it is? This is only the second time in 33 years of preaching that I've tried to open this passage and preach it. That's how crazy difficult this passage is. This was actually the very first passage I ever preached in my entire life, 33 years ago. Renee and I were attending a church in Nampa, Idaho, and I think the pastor was just kind of worn out and needed a break, and he found out I was a ministerial student there at Northwest Nazarene College, and he said, you want to preach Sunday? And I said, sure. And crazy me, I decided to tackle Genesis 22. I don't remember a word of that message from 33 years ago, but I do remember walking away from the pulpit that Sunday and thinking, I did not do this passage justice. This is a difficult, complex, crazy passage to read, to think about, let alone preach. But I will tell you this, you gain a whole different perspective on this passage when you start having kids. And especially if your firstborn is a son. And so here's the disclaimer. We're going to read Genesis 22 together in this series that I'm starting today called Lay It Down. And the disclaimer is this. This is going to upend our lives if we seriously try to grasp what God is trying to do and say in this passage. Genesis chapter 22, I'm going to read the first 19 verses. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. Here am I, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, He set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father!" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went off together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here am I," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now that I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Heavenly Father, you know I tried to preach this passage over 30 years ago. My fear is I still won't do this passage justice because there is so much here. So much we don't understand, so much to learn from, so much to apply. And so, Lord, it is only by your Spirit that we can walk away from this passage with any sense of your divine purpose and plan for our lives, even as Abraham and Isaac walked away from this episode with a greater understanding of your divine purpose and plan, not only for their lives, but for the life of this world. So Lord, help us as we think about this passage and bring to our mind that which you need to reveal to us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So in order to try to understand how we got here in Genesis chapter 22, we need to go back just a little bit to Genesis chapter 15. Abraham, as you know, is the father of the three great religious faith traditions. All three of the monotheistic religions of the world claim Father Abraham as their father: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. But there was a problem so many years ago. Abraham had no son. And that's a little bit of a problem. If you're going to go on and become the father of many nations and many faith traditions, you need someone to carry on your lineage. And so in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, we have God giving one of many promises to Abraham, saying this. He took Abraham outside and he said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." And he said to Abram, "So shall your offspring be." Okay, good news. Thank you, Lord. You're going to make me the father of many. Then we go on into Genesis chapter 16. And even though God had very clearly promised Abram at the time a son, it didn't happen. And so Sarai concocted a plan, because she desperately also wanted a son. And Sarai had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. And this was her plan. She said, Abram, why don't you go sleep with my servant, and hopefully she'll give you what I can't give you, which is a son. And Abraham was a little reluctant, but he agreed to what Sarai said. And so in verse 3 of Genesis 16, we read, so after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai took his wife, her Egyptian slave Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she ended up conceiving. When she knew that she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Lo and behold, you do stuff like this, you're going to get bad blood, right? So then we go on into chapter 17 of Genesis, and we read this in verse 4. As for me, this is my covenant with you. God is speaking to Abraham. You will be the father of many nations. Okay, that's a good thing. Let's go to verses 6 through 8. God is again reminding Abraham of his promise. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Okay, the promise is there. God has promised that Abraham would be the father of many. And then we fast forward to chapter 21 of Genesis. We read this in verses 1 through 5, that the promise is now being fulfilled. In Genesis 21, we read, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. See, God always comes through in his promises. Verse 3, Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Shout out to us old guys, right? We still got it. Put some swag on Abraham and put him on the cover of GQ. He's got it. 100 years old. Then we go down to verse 10 of chapter 21. Verse 9, but Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar, the Egyptian, had born to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. There's more of that bad blood between the two of them. Go down to verse 14 of Genesis 21. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulder, and get this, he sent her off with her boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. And she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there, she began to sob. Sarah and Abraham had sent Hagar and Ishmael off to the desert to die. Now we come to chapter 22, and we see what Sarah and Abraham did to Hagar and Ishmael is happening to them. Just as Abraham had sent Hagar and Ishmael off to die, God sent Abraham and Isaac off to die. You see, God has his ways of teaching us empathy one way or the other. Abraham, you sent them away to experience loss. Now I'm teaching you what it is to experience loss. God has his way of teaching us empathy for the other. And I just want to remind us today that empathy and compassion for the other is a very critical component of what it means to be a Christian. Because if we don't have compassion and empathy for others, then we are dead on the inside. I was very moved Wednesday night, a couple weeks ago. We were talking of and praying for the problem of homelessness in our area. And of course, we have compassion and empathy for those who are unhoused in our area. And I hope I'm not sharing too much, Tim. But Tim spoke up and said, you know, I understand what it is to be homeless. Because there was a time in our lives when we too had no place to call our own. And as Tim was sharing, my heart was moved because he could share from a direct result of empathy, of being in that place, of what it's like for those in our community who are truly experiencing hardships. Why is empathy so important? Because just as Jesus came and experienced the full range of human emotion and pain and suffering, get this, we cannot fully experience God until we too experience the pain and suffering of what others are going through. And so surely in that moment, Abraham must have been thinking, here I am. God has given me this crazy thing to do with my son. I wonder what Hagar and Ishmael are going through. We see here that God speaks to Abraham. He says to him, Abraham, in verse 1, and Abraham's so excited. Yes, I get to hear the voice of God. God, what is it? Here I am. Speak to me, God. Really? Do you really want to hear what God has to tell you to do? Really? And then God goes on and gives him these instructions. Be careful. If God is calling to you, if God is speaking to you, be careful when you answer. Because what God very well could be asking you to do is to lay it all down. Genesis 22, verse 10. Isaac is tied to the altar. He is about to be the sacrifice. Abraham, getting ready to do what God told him to do, the unthinkable. Verse 10. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. This wasn't just about Abraham's intention to follow through with what God told him to do. We all have good intentions. I mean, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. This was more than just the intent to do what God told him to do. Abraham was actually going to go through with this. Abraham was going to slay and sacrifice his son. And as Isaac lay there, he was as good as dead. But it wasn't just that Isaac was as good as dead. It was also that Abraham himself was as good as dead. For many, many, many years ago in the Near Eastern world, as a man especially, if you did not have a son to carry on your legacy, what good were you? As a man with no son to carry on his legacy, Abraham himself was as good as dead. So not just was Abraham about to sacrifice his only son, his very life was to be taken as well. What good are all the promises of God? What good are all these things that God promised me? What good do I have if I have no one to carry on my legacy? They both were as good as dead. It's almost as if both father and son were to lay it down. Let me say that again. It's as if both father and son, two different persons, and yet one common goal. It's as if both father and son were laying it down. Fast forward many, many centuries, the exact same region, on a hill called Golgotha, we read that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. From Isaac's perspective, this moment is as if his life flashed before his very eyes. This moment for Isaac as a young man not only served as a reminder of God's graciousness in his life being spared, but also as a warning for him as he too was to grow up and be a man of God. This moment was a reminder for Isaac that his life was not his own, that his life always belonged to God. Even Jesus' life was not his own. Jesus willingly laid down his own life for the sake of the world. I have a Facebook friend who posted this yesterday. His name's Matt. Matt's pretty excited because he finally got something he's always wanted. As you can see there, Matt finally got his Porsche. He says, this has been a dream of mine. I've got my Porsche. Driving this car is a next level experiencing. Owning it almost feels dirty because I do possess humility, but I freaking love this car. That's a pretty nice looking car. I would love to say to Matt, nice car. I can see that you love it. Who wouldn't love it? But I would say to Matt, if God asked you to give up this car that you freaking love, would you be willing to do it? And knowing Matt as I do, it would be very hard for him just to give it up. Let me just share with you briefly what inspired this sermon series. Several months ago, and don't even try to guess who it was because they're not here this morning. I didn't even know who it was. Someone came to the altar and I saw them praying. And then later in the week, I saw that they had left a pack of cigarettes here at the foot of the cross. And it was at that moment that they sensed that God was telling them they needed to lay that down. That it had taken such a hold on their life, and it was keeping them from being healthy, keeping them from being all that God wanted them to be. It had become a slave in their life. And I was reminded that God is still calling us to lay down these things in our lives that we absolutely need to give to God, that are keeping us from being fully surrendered to Him. But it's not just a car, and it's not just a pack of cigarettes, and it's not just maybe a person in our life or a habit. What the scriptures here call us to, and this is what makes the Bible so dangerous, is that if we want to experience resurrection, and both Abraham and Isaac did because God provided the ram, they were both as good as dead. But God provided that resurrection for them. That if we want to experience victory and blessing and resurrection and the fullness of God in our lives, we have to lay it all down before God. We cannot hold on to these things any longer that bring us joy or pleasure or hedonistic delights. It all must be given to God. And God, in testing Abraham, was saying, Abraham, are you not only willing to lay down your very son, are you willing to lay down your very own life for me? And however difficult it must have been for Abraham to process all that, he was willing. And because Abraham has now gone on to become the father of many, and we are here today because of his obedience, what is God asking you to lay down as we begin this series of Lent that takes us all the way up to Good Friday, where Good Friday reminds us that Jesus himself laid it all down for us? The worship team's going to come and lead us in a song that I've asked them to lead us in every Sunday in this series in Lent. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. That word consecrated is a big, fancy biblical word. It basically means, God, I'm going to give you my everything. I'm going to consecrate everything to you. My hopes, my dreams, my family, my fears, my sin, my cigarettes, my sports car, whatever it is, Lord, take it. It's not mine anyway. It's yours. My very life is yours. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.